Okay, good morning everybody. My name is Chaim and I am a sexaholic.
I am.
I guess we're holding by step 12B. And honestly, I guess I want to really start off with an enormous amount of gratitude to God. I feel very blessed. I really, really do. I really feel blessed. I mean, one of the struggles is that most people haven't seen me when I came in 8 years ago, 8.5 years ago. And this wasn't the guy you were looking at 8.5 years ago. I was an egotistic sexaholic that was running his own life, that knew the best for everyone and myself, that if only the world would do right to me, if only the world wouldn't hurt me as much, if only the world wouldn't have done what it did to me, if only, I would be happy, joyous, and free. And it's everybody else's fault. It's not my fault, but it's all your fault. And if you would change, I would be happy. And it's, you know, to think about coming from that world that I had, I didn't have ability, physically ability, to see a woman and be just okay. I didn't have that capability. I was humanly not capable of going down the street and seeing a woman and still not acting out within the next 24 hours. If my addiction hit, I had no way out. To come from that world, to come from a place of just driving naturally into Brooklyn, and then all of a sudden on the side of the road, I see a strip club, and I don't have the capability to say no. To come from a world where my brain all of a sudden decided that, you know, I just need to watch porn. My whole world shuts down, all responsibilities disappear, and I just lock myself up in a smelly, ugly, disgusting place. And I sit there and I just watch porn. To be so powerless, so hopeless, to have all the consequences of my addiction. My wife is in her 8th month. We're going to have a baby and I can't stop. The inability to stop. I don't have power to say no when my lust hits. I think it's important for all of us to emphasize to ourselves the powerlessness, the unmanageability. If I don't have step one, I ain't having step two, and I ain't having it all the way to step 12. The most important, fundamental part of recovery is my step one. If I'm feeling great today, that doesn't mean that my cancer is not spreading throughout my body. I just don't feel it. But it's spreading. My diabetes. I don't have to feel sick in order to know I'm sick. That's my powerlessness, my unmanageability. I am broken to the core, to the core. I have no way to say no. Till today, I don't have any way to say no to my disease. And it's been proven to me, and proven to me, proven to me and proven to me. The beauty is coming from a place of such powerlessness, and that's on the disease end, on the sex, on the lust. And then there's the powerlessness over my life. My life was just like, I was that guy that was waking up at 11 o'clock traveling to this place called Satmar. To go pray, to go to the rituals, to feel sick and disgusting, to come home to watch porn. I was that depressed guy, and I didn't even know it. Because from the outside, guys who knew me when they came into program, you? Come on, you? I was that guy that with the outside, I'm looking like I could bright up a room, but in the inside, I feel irritable, I feel discontent. I feel unease, I feel jealous, I feel envy, I feel hate, I feel depression, I feel loneliness. I feel dirty. I feel disgusting. And to the world, I'm doing great. The inability to have a real, true relationship with my children. The inability. I had no way to have a relationship with my children. Like I said, whoever was throughout the whole, 12 steps, hitting my kids, belittling them, shaming them, belittling my wife, shaming my wife. I didn't have the ability to function. And meanwhile, I walked around as the top guy in marriage. I was the king in marriage. I was the king as a father. I was the king in everything. I can't keep my zipper closed. Those 3 inches don't get closed on its own. But I'm running my life and yours and the world. So that's why I'm really starting off with such gratitude, because coming from my step one, the inability to go on a computer that doesn't have a filter like the Pentagon, and still lost, the inability not to. Today, to be able to have a phone in my pocket for 5 years without a filter. If that's not called powerful, what is? To come off of a drug that literally destroyed my life and everybody around it. To today having a beautiful relationship with my wife, with my children. Of course there's room for growth, and of course we get into arguments, and of course we have family dynamics. And I'm a father that a few nights ago where I told my kids, I'm exhausted, I need to go to sleep early. As I'm getting into bed, literally there's a knock on my door, and my 2 kids come charging into the room, jumping onto my bed, hugging me and kissing me. That was not me. I needed to get my kids to sleep very early because I had porn to watch. That was not me. I can't love my kids if I'm sitting there looking at tushes the whole day. It just doesn't go. It's cool for what it is. If I'm staring at penises all day, I can't love my wife. It just doesn't go. I didn't understand why it doesn't go. In early recovery, talking about powerlessness, my wife told me we're not in a relationship, and I said, what I do outside of the house has nothing to do with inside. I love you dearly. I didn't know what she wanted from my life. Why is it two dinim? It's two different lives. It's two different things. Dimension. What's the problem? Honey, I learned in school. There's one thing called a marriage. That's what we do here. Then there's my life, and that's what I do there. It has nothing to do. I love you dearly. Until I recognized, imagine my wife coming home and saying, I need to share with you vulnerably. Yeah, what do you need to share? Now I was just going down the street, and in the corner of my eye, behind a house, I saw a guy with his pants down, and he was taking a leak, Couldn't find a bathroom. No, I didn't have sex with the guy. I just touched him and whatever, but it wasn't bad. It wasn't whatever. I wouldn't know what to do. I'll throw out of a window. I wouldn't be able to breathe. I wouldn't know what to do. Now, if I'm my disease mode, I hope you did more so then I could get out more. The powerlessness, just the sickness of my... That's what I used to do. What do you mean? I'm looking and I'm checking and where could I get something and how much and so much. My brain functioned through lust and sex 24 hours a day. Through lust and sex. And when it wasn't, I was in that religious mode of just pain. Religious mode of God, don't burn me to hell, don't burn me to hell. I don't want to go to hell. My kids shouldn't have cancer, my this. Remember, my son was born with blood on his head, right? After they cleaned him up. And the feeling of and a doctor had to come in and check him, and that feeling of I caused this. I will never ever. I remember walking out of the room just crying. I fell onto the floor literally in pain. God, no, 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 never again, never again. It lasted, I don't know, hours, days. The powerlessness doesn't ever go away. I'm gonna die this way. Once a cucumber becomes a pickle, it never becomes a cucumber, like Harvey says. Never, ever. Never. It is what it is. This is who I am. I'm never turning into a cucumber again. Ever. I have a disease, it's in me, and it's there to stay. Through the steps, I break free out of that shell. I created a world for myself. And it surrounded me, a world. This is me, and there's a world that surrounded me of lust and sex and more lust and cunning and baffling and lies and resentments and fears. And I surrounded my world with layers and layers and layers and layers. And then I feel lonely. I feel alone. I feel not loved. I feel unappreciated. And then slowly through the steps, we crack through, we crack through, we crack through, we crack through. And what we did was, when we created these shells around us, it obviously didn't allow this pipe that's supposed to connect us to our higher power to connect. We disconnected it. And through the steps, we crack out of that shell. We clean the pipe, like we said so many times in the 12 steps. And we start having a real frequency, a real connection with our higher power. In step 10, the sixth sense. In step 11, conscious contact with our higher power. In step 12, where he talks about walking hand in hand. I forgot the words. Hand in hand with the resource of the world, I think.
Power.
The power of the universe. You know what that means? To work hand in hand with the power of the universe. What could hurt you? What could hurt you? What could hurt me? I'm living above the world. It's not anymore about the little nuances that we hear, these little petty things. We're living above it. But it doesn't just happen by, like, this is not, again, this 12-step workshop is not like this motivational, powerful speech and then everybody just does what they want. It took an enormous amount of work for me. And for anybody that has found God, and anybody who is living above the regular world. And to a sense, I feel like I am. To a sense, things that used to destroy me and kill me and hurt me and don't bother me anymore. You know what my struggle today is? My struggle today is I feel like I got so much solutions out of this program and such a way of living. That when I see people struggling, I'm dying to help them. And it's hard for me to know the perfect balance of where to come over to somebody and say, hey, I would suggest so, I think you should do such and such. Or just keep my mouth closed and wait for them to come to me. That's my struggle today. Basically, the lights went on. The lights went on in my life. The lights were off, the lights went on. And for that, I'm forever grateful. For that, I'm forever grateful. And like it says in the big book, we burn the idea into the consciousness of every addict that he too can get well. And that's the way we need to live our lives today. To be there for another alcoholic who is still sick and suffering, another sexaholic that is still sick and suffering. I almost honestly broke into tears today. 35 days ago, there's a guy in our fellowship who is dying to pieces. His world is crumbling. For years, he's suffering. His marriage is ending. Everything is dark. 35 days later, he gets rid of his stinking ego. It's not even an addiction. It's the ego of, I know. Trust me, I know. It's like the guy who's hanging upside down naked. And he's being dipped into poison, into hell, and he's screaming, I have solutions for the world. That's what we were. And here's a guy, 35 days later, his wife, he's willing to go to therapy to start working on the marriage. It's, you can't make up what how big this program is. You can't make it up. I guess what I would like to do in 5 minutes, if everybody's willing to do this, and for the next 5 minutes while I talk about the next thing I just would like to bring up, is think of ideas of difficulties in life. And like, what's the way out through the 12 steps? Because that's really the purpose of every meeting. That's really the purpose of every phone call. That's really the purpose of getting through the 12 steps, is not only to clean the past, but for today. What do I do? But what do you mean, my fine? But what does program tell me in this case scenario? We need to build the program into our guts to a level that when there's a problem, there's a solution. It's not where I just, this is my problem, I don't know what to do. So life sucks, so it's hell, I don't understand. What am I supposed to do? What does the program tell me when I see my brothers getting arrested? What does the program tell me? I know my old ideas. But what is the program's idea? What's the new way? I know God hates me. We spoke about that. And we know God hates me and God hates you and God. We know that. We know that's burned into the fiber of our being. But what does the program say? How do we get to the program? How do we institute the program in our lives? How do we bring the program into us? How do I view when I see a kid having cancer? What do I do with that? In the past, I masturbated. I didn't know there was a connection, but that's what my old brain did. What's my new brain telling me today? I need to be on a new frequency. My wife tells me sometimes when I go into attic mode, it's like literally like a light switch. She sees, she's like, you're off. She'll tell it to me straight out. She's like, you're off. You're in attic mode. When you snap back into the real world, like we could have a conversation. It's like, I'm off. How do you turn on the light switch called the 12-step program in our daily lives that brings us happy, joyous, and freedom? So think of examples, and we'll talk about that in a few minutes. But what I want to finish off, and this touched me very, very deeply, is that Roy Kay, at the end of the 12 and 12, in the white book, on page 189, I believe it is, I'm wrong, like usual, I make up pages, it's beyond, 149, just the beginning. Okay, 189, 140. I don't think there's a 189 in the whole white book.
There is.
149, just the beginning. Towards the end of the 12 and 12. In the white book. He literally tells over his story of what it was like in the beginning, in the middle, and what it's like today. And he talks a lot about his marriage. How he was the problem. Once again, who would have thought? And even though he knew and he swore and he realized and he recognized, he was the issue. He was the issue with his son. He was the issue with his relationship with God. It's his issue. And when he cleaned up that issue, his marriage rocketed. And in depth, I really recommend everybody reading it. It is so healing. It is so touching. It is so comforting. And he really just told my story. He told my story. And the beauty is, at the end, he explains how it just gets better. And we're only scratching the surface. He finishes off with the conclusions. The first conclusion. The physical and emotional state of my wife, children, cats, and doorways have been the trusted, truest indicators of real me. The truest indicators of the real me. If my cat is acting up, I'm the issue. If the hallway looks dark, I'm the issue. If my wife is acting snobby or pestery or bitchy or not in the mood, I'm the issue. If my kids are, I'm the issue. Not let's send them off to therapists. No, I need a change. And then the world around me becomes just a much beautiful place. I write the story of my life. That's his conclusion from all the 12 steps. You hear his conclusion? The physical and emotional state of my wife, children, cats, doorways have been the truest indicators of the real me. I have the key. I'm the power. I became powerful through being so powerless. And we really have opportunities today. The way I view the world today is, of course, there's a lot of healthy people out there in the world. And there's a lot of normal people. I'm not one of them. I'm a very sick man. But through the 12 steps, I'm not a regular person like them either. This is the world. This is me and my disease underneath the world. But this is me and my spirituality. I don't become like them. I have a sixth sense. I'm God-inspired. I walk hand in hand with the creator of the universe. I'm not like them. And this is not my ego. This is just the fact. The fact is 90% of the people have spent hours and hours and hours of this insanity that's going on in our community with duress. I spent 10 minutes. I spent more time praying for the people than I spent researching of the insanity that went on. I spent more time thinking about them and praying for them. Instead of hacking and going crazy and the anger and resentments and Hitler's coming back and it's noise. We live above the world. That wasn't like me. I could give instead of take from the world again. And the most important thing I can remember, my step one. I have a choice, and the big book warns, this choice is not easy for addicts to make. A life on a spiritual state of happiness or a life of hell is not an easy choice for an addict to make. We're nuts. $1 million or hell? I'll get back to you. That's what we do. And we do it all the time. We do it in meetings mostly, where it's like I have an opportunity to sit in a meeting, put my phone away, tap into a power that's greater than myself, literally, watch people go from insanity to sanity, become happy, joyous, and free. Or I could sit there and resent this guy, not understand this guy, and why this guy, and if only this guy, and he should, and he didn't, then why is he holding his phone? He should put away his phone. Why is this guy coming early? Why is he leaving late? And I'm the judge and jury throughout the whole meeting of what needs to happen and doesn't need to happen. Now, the reason I know all this is because I used to do this. I'm guilty of this. Be able to tap in, how do I be of service to people? How do I live happy, joyous, and free? How do I understand people? How do I carry the message? I'll finish off with this last thing and then we'll open the floors for questions. I heard this from Sandeby. He said the greatest analogy. A lot of people are in this fellowship of recovery, imprisoned. And the way he explained it is, we were always imprisoned to our disease, we're slaves to our disease. Now the idea is to break out of this prison. What we do by coming into recovery sometimes is we get an interior decorator for our prison. Let that seep in for a minute. We get an interior decorator for our prison. We still lock ourselves up. We still live addicted personalities. We still have that same old beliefs and we don't let it go. We don't let those beliefs go. We hold on to it with dear life. We're dying. But we have an interior decorator called the 12 steps. I'm in prison. Yeah, but look at the curtains that we got in prison here. Look at my bed. I got an interior decorator here. You're in prison. Break free. The first thing I need to do is say, I give up. I am done. I can't run my life on my own. This ego of mine, this pride, is done. Sponsor, save me. Program, save me. People in the fellowship, give me something. I am dying. But if I come, I could come for years, and we see this in the fellowship, I could come to years into recovery. For years. And reality is I'm dead. Reality is I'm a walking dead person in recovery. And in the white book, he says it very, very clearly. In the fourth step, Give me a sec. Can't find it right now. Here, Making Wrongs, page 97. Making the Wrongs Right, step 4 through 10. We once spoke about this and we once read this, but I'll end off with this. Sadly, many men and women with years of physical sobriety on the 12-step program never make the breakthrough into the heart of the program and true recovery. The biggest obstacle seems to be steps 4 through 10, the core substance of the program. It is these steps that seem to be the least realized and actual experience. If you're in program for 6 months and you didn't get to your past your fourth, fifth step, you could come to 1,000 meetings. You could work whatever type of program you want. I never saw a guy stay sober, ever, if he didn't get through his steps. This is not me saying it. This is the literature. When first exposed to these steps, many of us balk. The process of righting wrongs is foreign to us. It seems light years away in another dimension. We can't connect with it. We either dismiss it out of hand or say to ourselves, I'm doing fine, just like I am. How many times do we hear that? I'm doing good. I hear, yeah, you're saying good. I'm doing good. Blindness and denial. It is as though we will go to any lengths to avoid doing what is required for our own healing. When some members see that such persons are captive to externals rather than to having an awakening to life. So most of these people do, who can't just work the real program, they run after externals. So they're dead. They're dead. Years in recovery. Dead. Years of sobriety. Dead. Not happy, joyous, and free. They have been overheard to say, if sobriety is all there is, I want no part of it. There are few things so pitiful as an aborted spiritual life. The amazing thing is that we can give the appearance of life even though we are dead. We can give the appearance of life even though we are dead. And we have a choice. The 12 steps, carrying the message, being there for somebody else is the way out. There is one true way to get more than physical sobriety, and that is by coming out of denial, seeing our wrongs and writing them under God, making steps 4 through 10 a way of life. The result is a new life. And you could just go on and on and on. The 12-step workshop that we've done over here is amazing, but that's not the 12 steps. 12 steps is sitting with a sponsor. This is just a brief help and guidance and some ideas that through my years in recovery, me giving off some experience, strength, and help. But the real idea is sitting down with a sponsor, the willingness to go to any lengths, the willingness to go to any lengths to stay sober for 24 hours. And the other life is blissful. It's a real happy life. It's a life that when pain hits, we could still be happy. When insanity hits, still be happy. I have a lot of insanity that sometimes hits my life. A lot of craziness. It's not because God has just given me the clear and easy road through life. But the idea is I could combat it. And carry this message over to another sexaholic is the 12-step message. And when we carry it over, our lives change. When we give over that true message, not the message of, you're acting out, it's okay, tomorrow's another day. Okay, it's another day. No, it's you're going to die. That's the true message. The message is that I don't have to work harder than my sponsee on his recovery. He needs to work on his recovery. So I appreciate everybody, anybody who has come to one of these workshops, to all the workshops, to some of these workshops, the people that recorded it, the people that arranged it. Michal, I really appreciate every message that you sent out. Really, really being on top of it. Appreciate everybody putting in the effort to come. I've gained a tremendous amount And the beauty is I have the realization today that today is another day and tomorrow is another day. If I don't work my program tomorrow, I do all 12 steps and I'm out. So I really, really appreciate it. I'm really grateful. Anybody have any questions or anything they want to add of how to apply to their lives? Yeah. Or anything.
Stuff in general. How do you touched on this a little before, like, how do you balance that, like, when you're trying to help someone in the program, like, not thinking that you got it, and, like, I'm going to fix everybody, and just being, you know, being able to just help the guy without, like, expecting results.
So the question is, how do you balance, when somebody comes to you, how do you balance the fact of you thinking, like, wow, I have all power now, look at me, I'm like God, you know? And the answer for me is, and that's in the 12 and 12, and that's why it's so important to read the literature. It answers really all the questions. We tell them our story. We don't tell them what to do. We tell them what worked for us. We tell them our brokenness. That's why when you talk to old timers, they constantly go back to their acting out.
40 years ago.
40 years ago, 20 years ago. That's why I started off this talk, talking about where I came from. This is not me telling you what to do and how to live your life. This is me telling you that I was in your shoes. I know the feelings you're going through. I know the self-hate, the self-loathing, the pain, the insanity. I've been there. Let me tell you what I've done in my life and what works for me. I could only carry my message. But to lie to a guy and tell the guy that you're doing okay and just keep coming back and it's not a big deal, it is a big deal. The people that told me in early recovery told me like this: if you want to go act out, I'll even sponsor you. But leave me the hell alone. If you want to stay sober, I'm here with you, helping you and nursing you back to life. But if the gimmicks is not over, if it's not over, then go back out there. It was very painful for me. Even till today, sometimes when I have these huge urges and I call my sponsor, he says, so what do you want from me? So go back out there if you're not done.
Yeah, but that's why I'm calling. I'm calling to tell you that I really am done and this and that.
So tell me you're done. We're very sick people. We could convince our sponsor to get diseased. I had a story yesterday where a guy's acting out heavily, crazily. He calls another guy. Tells the guy, you want to meet up? And the guy says, yeah. And he goes to the sober member, stops his day to meet with the drunk member. And when he gets to the drunk says, oh, I'm busy with work. Something just came up. Sorry, I can't meet with you. So the sober member travels across town to help the non-sober member. The non-sober member is caught up in his addiction, obviously. Okay? Doesn't come out to meet with this guy. Now this guy is resentful. Who asked you to travel across town? You're in the middle of a day's work. Harvey told me, don't answer your phone call in the middle of work. You're working. If you need an answer for yourself, for you to stay sober, answer the phone call. Put a time aside. Leave work a few times a day to make return phone calls, to answer phone calls. We become resentful and we become godly because we think we're a member of the ambulance units, fire things, and what's it called? So we spread ourselves thin, and then we become resentful and we become godly and we think I'm another drunk, I'm not available for you. If you wanted me, then you make yourself available. And it's all in the readings. It's all in the reading.
What Luke was saying with that, if my doorway is acting up, then I'm the problem. That means that he means in a practical sense, or he means it's all in my brain?
Everything is in my head. I constantly am lying to myself. So everything is in my head. I make things up. And even when it is bad, and even when I find out that something terrible is happening, step 11 says we pause, we meditate, we ask God for direction. An intuitive thought or action or idea will come into our head. But if the moment something happens and I see a kid who has cancer and this and that, the further, see, God hates me. What I need to do is, God, take that noise away from me. Stop lying to me. Brain, the same brain that told me to pull down my pants 100 times is telling me that God hates me. It's telling me that that's why God is doing all these things. I need to remove myself from there. It's poison.
So it doesn't mean that mean, if I come home and I feel and I see something physical on my wife dead.
I'm most of the time blind. I'm lying to myself. It's a lie. I'm sick. If I walk down the street and I see that girl wants to have sex with me, I see it. I learned the program. You're a liar, Chaim. There goes your brain again. If I wake up in the morning and say, you're going to not have enough money to eat today. Chaim, you're lying. Chaim, your kid is going to have cancer today. Chaim, you're lying. It's not true. I make up stuff. I make stuff up all the time in my brain. I need to purposely break free from the old way and not be busy with ayin hara, nayin hara, hara, ayin hara. Say it. Not because I don't believe in the religious. I can't go there or I'm going to act out. I can't bring in the past to the present. I need to separate it. Until my old ideas were nil, until my old ideas disappeared, the results were nil.
What about things that are going on in your life that are a result of the past, the record of the past? That's, things aren't going well because of stuff that happened in the past.
So what happens with things that are really going bad as a result? That's me taking responsibility for my actions and understanding that this God wrote my step one for a purpose. He wrote all the wreckage for a purpose. I only have capability and not even of seeing what's right in front of me. But I'm not going to understand all the pain, sorrow, hate, misery that I went through for years and be able to bring it to today and into the future. I don't live past, present, and future. That's where God lives. But that's my ego again. I need to be God. I need to know why the past happened, why the present's happening, and what the future holds.
No, my question is not to understand the past, but to deal with the present that is in shambles.
So to keep it simple, the way I've dealt with all the insanity that came as a result of my acting out was what you shared today. A lot of gratitudes. I used to sit and write gratitude lists on my wife. 10, 20 gratitudes. She was screaming, she's angry, she's sad, she's lonely, she's this and that, she's sitting in misery. I used to just sit and write gratitudes about her. I used to lie. I could lie about everything else. Now I can't lie. I need to rewire my brain. And then until all of a sudden the flow of love, of passion, of feeling, of like, wow, it is true. And honestly, you're bringing it up. We need to do that about God also. We lie. God is like, only if I walk in this fine little perfect line is he going to love me. Yeah? Look at all of us, what kind of lines we walked in. Did he destroy us all? If he was that rigid, we all shouldn't be here. Now, if I don't put on my Teflons one day, all hell's breaking loose. Only when it comes now. Look what we did for years. God was there with me through every single acting out. I'm okay. Didn't destroy any of my life. Gratitudes, 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 gratitudes. Rewiring the brain, rewiring the brain, rewiring the brain. All right? One more?
Just what you said before, that your experience shows that the people with, that are 6 months of recovery without getting through the fifth step are going to act out, which is my experience as well. But what gets me confused, that like I had a story probably 2 years ago. A guy told me he's in program for more than 6 months, and his sponsor is a sponsor, a great guy, so for many years, just he meets with him once a week, reading a little of the 12 and 12, and he says, looks like I'm gonna get through my steps,
There's different ways of doing the 12 steps. The question really is, what about those guys that take the 12 steps very, very slow? And I get this all the time. What about there are tons of people that do the steps very slowly and they don't get through it and so on and so forth? There are people that do succeed. There are. I'm not going to say not. Chances are they won't. Why take that chance? Why take that chance? Why take that chance? Bill W. did his fourth step in the hospital. Why take that chance? have a loaded gun in my mouth, about to blow my brains off. Let's play around with the trigger. I mean, like, why take that chance? I need a spiritual awakening right now. It's not worth it to take the chance. The program works if we work it, and that's it. And we don't fight with no one. That's the most important thing. I sometimes fall into this. We stop fighting. Step 6 and 7. We stop fighting with all people, places, and things. It's not anymore. We stop the debating society. There's a lot of people in recovery. I wish they came over to me. I wish I could sit down with them and show them the truth. I wish I could pinpoint to them and give them the truth on a silver platter. We stop fighting. If God wants them, they're going to. There's nothing you could do. It's very painful. When I see the light and I see other people don't see the light, it's very painful. It's very hard. But everybody has their journey. And I don't play God. I pray for them and I leave go and I enjoy my life.
I want to thank you very much for this workshop, all the work you put into the experience.
Appreciate it. Thank you. You're welcome. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Okay, let's wrap it up.